Voluntary service.
Thank you, Zelda, for your service. Today we'll hear a talk on step two. And step two is that's step 12. My brain isn't engaged completely. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Please give a warm welcome to Patty J from Santa Clarita, California. Welcome, Patty.
Hi, everybody. I'm Patty J. I'm an alcoholic. Thank you for having me. I hope I don't have any issues with the internet. That's why I came downstairs to make sure it works properly. But anyway, my sobriety date is 10/23/1988. I'm sober 35 years by the grace of God, and I thank God for my sobriety. Step two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. My experience, I'll try to share with you on that, and I'll just try to just lump it all, together. 35 years is a long time, plus I'm 58 years old, so you could imagine coming to believe in a power greater than myself has been a journey. But it talks about there, one of the things that I wanted to point out is came to believe that power greater than ourselves could restore, okay? What do I need to have restored? And how do I see that? How do that come about for me to even wake up to see there's something needs to be restored? If I need to be restored, there's something I may be asleep to, right? The other part of that is restored to sanity. So how do I get restored to sanity? I think I need to see that I'm insane. Like, where can I see my insanity to see that I need to be restored to sanity? So restore means to bring back, right? And sanity means the definition that I have, I'm sure there's other definitions that people have, is the ability to think and behave in a normal and rational manner, right? So I need to see that, where do I don't think rationally? Where do I don't behave rationally? Where do I need to be restored? And how do I see that? Not because you tell me, I see it in my life. I see it in my story. I see it in my history, the delusions and illusions that I've been operating out of, whether I'm self-reliant, whether I'm defiant or delusional about things. I need to have something greater than me to bring me to the truth of what I've been believing for so long. So what are examples of that? So on Tuesday, I believed something 5 years ago, and then 7 years later on Friday, I don't believe it anymore, right? Because it doesn't have the same impact. So how do I get this this motivation to come to believe? I have to tie some other steps. So when I first came in, the scary thing for me when I first came to Alcoholics Anonymous, and welcome to all the new people. When I first came in and I learned about step one, because when I'm drinking and doing other party favors, I don't understand the nature of the illness. I don't understand that it centers in my thinking. I don't understand that I have an allergy to alcohol and all this stuff. I don't get that when I'm drinking and using. Everybody's just wondering why I can't stop. And when I stop, why I can't stay stopped. So when I come into Alcoholics Anonymous, I'm 23 years old. So the first time I came, I was 21 years old. I went to a recovery house. At this recovery house, they started explaining to me some of the things in step one, where they start waking me up to the doctor's opinion, they start waking me up to the truth of my disease, and I won't go into all of that. But when I was 21 years old, I was at this recovery house, and I'm being big book taught all the time. I'm learning about the steps, I'm learning about the disease, I'm learning about my allergy, and I was at this facility for 60 days. And at that facility for 60 days, they talked to me about the steps, they talked to me about recovery, they talked to me about how I needed a sponsor, because I do believe when new people come in, we need to teach them, we need to show them. And if you give me the big book to read by myself, my interpretation is going to be off the beam. I need to sit with somebody one-on-one to explain this stuff to me, because if I have to interpret it out of my mind. Because I remember when I went to my first recovery house, the steps were on the wall, and I started reading the wall steps, and I started going, oh, I could do that. That's easy. I had no comprehension of what that meant. So at this recovery house at 21 years old, I was there for 60 days. I heard all of the stuff about recovery. I was not drinking. I was not doing other party favors in this facility. I was going to meetings. I was learning about the steps. I was learning all of this stuff. But on the 60th day, I got a job, right? And I said, oh, okay, I'm fine now. I know about the steps. I know all of this stuff. And on the 60th day, the night I left to go to prepare for this job, I got drunk. It makes no sense now that I look back on it. It makes no sense that I was in a facility for 60 days and got drunk the night I left the facility, learning about the steps, learning about my disease, learning about all this stuff. It's like, what's wrong with me, right? So that's the first evidence that I got that even though I know my disease, even though I understand the disease, even though I relate to the stories that I heard about in the program, it's still not enough having this knowledge to keep me sober. The knowledge wasn't enough for me to stay stopped. The knowledge wasn't enough. I still left there in the delusion that I could still have one drink. After hearing day after day after day after day that I can't pull it off, after seeing day after day after day after day, I never had one. After seeing it for 60 days, the night I left, I picked it up and it didn't even dawn on me that I can't pull this off. So I come back, and this is a long story, I won't go into that. But staying with step two, when I turned 23 is when I got sober. There's a lot of things that happened with that. I won't go into that. And I don't know what happened. Sometimes we think there's this riddle. We forget, and I have to talk about me. I have to always remind myself, there's a power greater than myself, right? I haven't figured this thing out. So when I came into back at 23 years old, right, I wasn't praying. I wasn't asking. I wasn't seeking. I needed a place to live. And in order for me to live with my father, I had to come to AA. And when I came back and I was living with my dad and I started going to meetings again, I still wasn't praying. I still wasn't seeking. I still wasn't asking. I just needed a place to stay. I started going to meetings. I started doing what they asked me to do in meetings. I still wasn't praying. I still wasn't seeking. I still wasn't acting. Something was doing for me what I couldn't do for myself, even though I didn't ask it. So this is how huge this power is, coming to believe. It has to be broad and roomy, our big book talks about, all inclusive, not exclusive. Right. And sometimes we talk about the road gets narrower. We talk about how it only gets narrow for me. And everybody has their own interpretation of that. It gets narrow for me if I'm living in ego and self-centeredness. But if I'm in the realm of the spirit, baby, this road is broad and roomy, all inclusive, not exclusive. So that means that it'll work even when my mind's not operating. There's that line in the book that talks about, I couldn't go back to it even if I could, you know, that little phrase. It's like, how is that possible? How is it possible that I could stay sober and get the grace when I came back at 23 years old, not asking, not seeking, not understanding any of this stuff in step two, and I still stayed sober until I was given the power to wake up, to get out of the delusion and the illusion of what I thought it was. Because I grew up with another power greater than myself. I come from a Pentecostal Baptist church. You know, I don't know. I'm from South Central Compton, Los Angeles, Watts. I come from the ghetto of Los Angeles. And my mother always kept us in church. And she was Holy Ghost filled and Bible baptized and all of that stuff. And I never really believed all of that. I just knew we had to do what mama said. Go to church. I'm not against church. Don't think I'm against church. So I was going to this stuff and at 23 years old, speed it up. I start going to meetings. I'm going to the meetings to just have fun. I'm 23 years old. I'm doing some step work, really. I got a sponsor, but I'm not really doing anything. And I'm going through the big book, but I'm not really reading it. I'm not studying it. And I get the grace to stay sober. I was starting to say the meetings at the end of the meeting. God grant me the serenity. You know, you start learning the logo. It's easy to pick it up, right? You start understanding how the program works. But when I was coming up on my like 90th day and I stopped and I got my 6-month chip, after I got my 9-month chip, there was an old timer in the meeting. And this old timer said to me, she said, Patty J, if you don't stop and get into the step work, you're not gonna stay sober. You've been able to stay sober for, I didn't understand how I was able to stay sober either. It never dawned on me that something was carrying me. I wasn't doing this myself. Right. So that's why I'm talking about this, because I have to look at my experience and say, what power did I really have to keep myself sober? How did I come to believe that this power greater than myself could restore me to sanity? Restore me. Restore me means that now I could get in the car, drive down the street, and I could pass the liquor store and don't buy liquor. right? Now I could go back to the neighborhood in the ghetto and hang with the family and not want to go into the alley and do other party favors. How did that happen? I was never able to do that. How do I go to the grocery store and I'm like walking around in the grocery store trying to buy like, you know, chips and, you know, I want to fry some chicken or whatever I want to do. And I'm passing all of the bottles and my mind is not thinking about drinking. Did I do that myself? Self? Absolutely not. So coming to believe is having to see that I need it. I need something greater than me because I see in step one that it's impossible for me to keep myself sober through self-knowledge. It's impossible for me to keep myself sober because I get deluded. So something needs to protect me from my thinking. Something needs to save me from myself. And how do I come to believe in that? I start working the other steps. And I'll go into a little bit of that, but I won't touch too much. We're talking about step two. And the other thing that I wanted to talk about is sometimes step two can be complicated for our new people. Sometimes it can be complicated for us people who've been around here for a long time, you know, because if I start to define it and I start saying this power greater than myself is this, and this power is that, and this power is this, then I figured it out, right? For me personally, I don't like to define it. I like to let it show itself. The Big Book talks about when we seek, it discloses itself. So if I make a commitment to work the step, if I make a commitment to do the work, I don't have to worry about this power greater than myself coming to believe it, restoring me to sanity, because it's going to show me what it does by me cooperating to activating it. Does that make sense? I hope it makes sense. So if I cooperate with what they're giving me and what my sponsor is and what I'm hearing you guys share about, it's automatically going to do some stuff for me that I can't do for myself. So I come to believe one day at a time. Now, there's a whole lot of details about step two. There's a whole lot of stuff about that. But one of the things that I wanted to see and share with you guys on step two for me is that I had whole old ideas. I come into believe that a power greater than myself can restore me to sanity. It's not what I grew up with. What I grew up with was, you know, you have to pray like this. You have to be baptized like that. And then God will work. That's what I was taught. You have to be dipped in the water. You have to be filled with the Holy Ghost. You got to be slapped in the forehead with this oil and you have to confess. You have to do all this. I'm not against it. Don't get me wrong. But that's what I grew up with. So when you come to me and you say, came to believe that a power greater than myself will restore me to sanity, it's like I don't even have to really actually believe I'm going to come to. And how do I come to? So I come in the program and I get a sponsor. I start working the steps. I start doing all of these things. And next thing I know, something is happening, right? The Big Book talks about old ideas being replaced with new ideas. And sometimes I don't even know it. So I like to give examples of one time I'm rolling through the hood. I kind of talk, you know, I'm rolling in the hood in the neighborhood and I'm going to visit my mom. When I used to go visit my mom when I was newly sober, it was like I needed like bodyguards because I was afraid that I was going to relapse. I was afraid to go into the neighborhood. I was afraid to go on certain streets. I was afraid to go down certain blocks. So I took friends with me to go visit my mom for at least my first 5 years of sobriety. I was afraid to do it because I didn't know if I could stay sober or not. That was just my stuff. And I always remember that this program is about my story, right? I don't want to try to pull off and do things that I know I'm incapable of doing. Just because I could see, let's say if Sunny is doing something and she's so great at doing it, then I try to do, I can't do what Sunny do, right? I need to do what I need to do. I'm not strong in certain areas. So when I go to the neighborhood to see the family, I need a bodyguard. It doesn't mean that God isn't working because this power works through that too. This power uses other people to save me. I don't want to define that I need to just go to God without y'all or just be with my sponsor. When you guys share, the power speaking through you to me. And it doesn't even matter if you're sharing and you're an ego and you're in self-centeredness. When I hear you, it's the power of God. So I don't care how I get the message, as long as I get it so that I can wake up and do what I need to do. It doesn't matter. So the example of this is I'm going to LA and I'm hanging out. And what ends up happening one day, I noticed this in my fifth year of sobriety. This is how long it takes to wake up. I walk into the store, right? Because I wanted to get something to eat. And I walked in and I realized when I walked out the store that I didn't look at the zigzags and the alcohol in the cabinets. I literally went in there to get a honey bun because I was hungry. I was going somewhere. I just wanted a honey bun and a Coke. And I walked out the store and I said, damn, that's the first time I didn't look at the alcohol. That's the first time that I didn't look at the zigzags. Y'all know what zigzags are? Zigzags, I won't go into that, say that word, but if you know what a zigzag is, you know what I'm talking about. And I walked out, I was like, dang, I didn't even care about looking at them. What happened? 5 years later, I realized that, right? So I continue to do this work. I continue to uncover, discover, and discard. And I get to see that a lot of the stories that I told myself were a lie. Restore to sanity. That sanity restoration can happen in so many areas of my life, right? Being restored to sanity about what my mother did or didn't do. Being restored to sanity about the truth, about just being in the neighborhood, whatever the lies were, I got restored by the grace of this program and doing all of the other steps that we do here. And remember, it's one day at a time, although I don't know how often I really stay in one day at a time, if I keep it honest with you. But one day at a time is the goal, to be restored to sanity, right? So the other thing is with step two, when I'm coming to believe in that, and I'm starting to carry the message to other people, and I'm starting to try to practice these principles in all of my affairs, I get to see that this power is so huge that if I start defining it, I'm going to limit it. I don't know if that makes sense to y'all. So I could wake up, let's say, for example, let's use this fellowship right here. We just sit here, we're just talking, right? So let's say a person starts sharing or a newcomer starts talking. And because I'm 35 years sober, I sit with some ego over here and I say, no, that ain't why your ass went out. I'm not telling it, but I'm thinking it. Because I think I know what everybody needs to do and not do because of what I think I know. But it dawned on me that when, just because people relapse, that don't mean the higher power didn't work. Maybe that's a part of your come to believe. Maybe you need to relapse to come to believe that in and of yourself that you can't keep yourself sober. So you come to believe because you needed to pick up another drink. Like I talked about me and that when I went to that recovery house, hearing the truth, doing the work, crying about adoption, crying about my daddy being messing around a womanizer, crying about going to church all the time and still turning out gay, crying all of this stuff, just upset about all of this guy stuff. And it was like all of that stuff, right? It didn't do anything. I ended up getting loaded anyway that first time. So when I come back, I have to be open to the truth. And it's really not a whole little complicated. We don't have to milk this cow about step two. You just come to believe. And what makes me come to believe is when I look at step one. Admitted we're powerless over alcohol, that our lives have become unmanageable. Is that true? I'm not gonna speak on step one, but y'all get what I'm saying. Is that true? Because by the time I got to step two, I was scared. Because I knew from step one, when I saw my story, that even with a period of time of not drinking, that I still picked up again. That's scary. Because what's wrong with my mind? Why is my mind incapable of telling me the truth? My mind incapable of working properly when it comes to alcohol. And then with the unmanageability of my life, because I wasn't able to figure out this riddle because I thought if I could figure out how this all works, then I don't have to worry about relapsing. That's not true. Because for me, I was riding dirty in my sobriety. I've done things that I shouldn't have been doing. I wasn't no holy saint. I was still doing stuff that I shouldn't be doing, right? Out there cheating in relationships, going to payday loan places, getting loans and stuff. I was doing all kind of crazy stuff in sobriety, right? But some people were doing the same things that I was doing and they got loaded. It's like, well, I did what she did. She got loaded, but I stayed sober. How is that possible if we do the same things? Or you go out and I stay, right? Or you've been the true person doing whatever, and then I'm not really being praying and doing whatever, but I'm still here. We would never be able to figure out this riddle. That's why it's personal and independent of the self. What is my story? I don't need to tell you what you need to do. I don't need to tell you how. I need to be focused on me. What is it about me that I need to come to believe to? What do I need from this power? What do I need from this fellowship? And the thing about it is, I don't even need to get into that because I don't even know what I need. I just need to do the work. So I'm going to close it out in a minute, and I'm going to close it with this. And you guys have a lot of probably more stories about coming to believe, but I think the major thing that I wanted to talk about is coming to believe that a power greater than myself could restore me to sanity is my thinking is warped. I am incapable of knowing when I'm insane. And there is some stuff that I need to do even now and pray that the grace of God is going to keep me here one day at a time. So the way that I tie it into it and why I'm going to end it like this, because I had to figure out a way, like we have these prayers, we have all these things we do and there's step work. I had to ask God, not only with the 7-step prayer, have all of me good and bad, which is good, right? That 7-step prayer is powerful. We're not talking about the 7-step. I just want to touch it a little bit. Have all of me good and bad, because it all ties in together, right? Because I don't know what's good, because what's good for me on Tuesday is bad for me Friday, 5 years later. If you're anything like me, what's a character defect on Friday is an asset on Saturday. Does that make sense? It's like, if I live in fear the right way with fear, okay, healthy fear is good, but like self-centered fear don't work. I am unable to discern what's right and what's not. So have all of me good and bad. So this is what I do. I needed something because of the religious stuff, all of that. The prayers and all of that wasn't working for me. And I was trying to do prayer and meditation because I understand that I need to do that, which is step 11. And so what I did was I turned step 11 into a prayer, and I'll close with this. My prayer is every day, this is what I say. It's going to make me cry. Lord, I ask that you direct my thinking. I especially ask that you divorce me from selfish, dishonest, and self-seeking motives. I pray that my thought life is placed on a much higher plane as my thinking is cleared of wrong motives. I pray if I face any indecision, if I'm not able to determine which course to take, I pray for inspiration, an intuitive thought, or a decision. I pray that I relax and take it easy, that I don't struggle, knowing that the right answers will come after I've tried this for a while. I pray that what used to be a hunch or an occasional inspiration gradually becomes a working part of my mind. I pray that I'm always inspired to do your will, and I ask that you protect me from all absurd actions and ideas. I pray that my thinking as time passes be placed more and more on a plane of inspiration, that I come to rely upon it. I pray that I see all through the day what my next steps ought to be. That I be given whatever I need to take care of any problems. I especially pray for freedom from self-will, not to be caught up in my own selfish sins. I pray that I'm quick to see where other spiritual and religious people are right, that I make use of what they have to offer. I pray that I pause when agitated or doubtful, that ask for the right thought and the right action, that I constantly remind myself I'm no longer running the show, saying many times throughout the day, your will, not mine, be done. I ask that you protect me from dangerous excitement, fear, anger, worry, self-pity, and foolish decisions. I pray that I don't tire so easily, that I'm not burning up energy foolishly trying to arrange life to suit myself. I ask that you discipline me in the way that you see fit, and that I stay in the right action, knowing that faith without works is dead. And I continue to ask that I make myself available to be of maximum service to you and your people throughout the day. Because it's not real complicated, right, man? It's like, if my mind ain't working, I'm not going to stay sober. If my mind ain't working, something wrong action is going to happen. So it's real simple. This power better work. It's like, I need this power to work for me to stay here 35 years later. Am I thinking, doing, action, and being? I don't know what I need on Tuesday. I don't know what I need on Friday. So for me to come to believe, I better do some work. So I can activate it, because I can get real intellectual and want to break it down and I want to do this, and it could get the elephant in the room is self-knowledge, right? I'm not saying that that's the elephant in the room, but it is. I know. I do. I got it. And I don't. So the 11-step prayer ties step 2 in for me, because that helps me to come believe. And I'll say this and shut up. The 12 and 12 gives us a spot check inventory. right? And in that, with this prayer in the 11th step, because in that prayer in the 11th step, it's asking me, I know we're not on step 11, sorry, y'all. But it's saying, I ask. In the paragraphs, it say, I ask. And this is like after it says, retired at night, but up on awakening. I need to be asking for some stuff every day. So what does it look like when I get up in the morning and I go to work, how I act? I can see some things. If it's waking me up, please protect me from foolish actions and ideas, right? It's like, okay, I'm married, right? But that honey show is fine. And she telling me she could give me something better than my wife at home. Let's keep it real. And I go, damn, you know, she sure look good. Maybe I could get that phone number. And then I snap, wake up, protect me from foolish ideas and actions. Girl, you married, you in delusion, you in fantasy. Take your butt home and sit down. Do what you need to do. I needed to work all day, not just at night when I retire at night, right? So I won't go into all of that. I'm going to shut up now. I hope I helped y'all with step two. And I pray that we just not be intellectual about it, but that we see it in our story, that we cooperate to activate, because coming to believe is not coming to know, right? There's a difference with coming to know. Because when I think I know, we just say to set aside prayer, set aside everything I think I know, but then I really don't set it aside because I think I know. I think I know, but I don't want to know. Let it go one day at a time. Thank y'all. Hope that helps somebody.